it's you know, a different Lagamri will be okay. That'll be the halacha. Now, so we were back in the sugya of Chol Yisrael, Chol Akum, and we were trying to determine the heterim. And we mentioned the heterim of Rav Moshe Feinstein, the heterim of the Pri Chadash, and others that explain what's the status of the halacha of Yisrael Roye'ehu. The Gemara says that Chol Akum, Chol of milk, which is milk by a non-Jew, is only kosher if it's Chol, if it's Roye'ehu Yisrael. Yisrael has to actually see it. And the question was, the Pri Chadash said, even if the Jew doesn't see it, but he knows through other forms of knowledge that it's for sure all the milk that you're seeing came from a kosher animal, that would be enough. Right? But the question is, we don't pass it like that Pri Chadash. So is it mutter nowadays, based on our knowledge, that it's probably milk to only kosher animals because the FDA and all the regulations and all that. So in the end, Rav Moshe Feinstein's heter is not just, well, it's likely, because that wouldn't be enough, because like that's, the Gemara says you need to actually see it. So Rav Moshe's heter is that it's as if you actually saw it. It's so clear that it's as if you saw it. That's the chiddush of Rav Moshe's heter. Okay, so that's the heter that some people use, Chol Stam, that milk which was not necessarily seen by a Jew in the process of the Chol of Yisrael, but it was we know it. We know for sure, and therefore that's like seeing it. That's what we discussed last week, if that's enough. The question of the video camera nowadays, if you could have a video camera with a live feed, or even without a live feed, but for sure with a live feed somewhere else, would that be enough to create Yisrael Re'eyu? And the Chol Yisrael, that's a big shayla, also a big machlokes. Some are more make on that, some are less make on that.
What was the issue? Was it chasnus also the same?
No.
So it's not another chasnus, it's to do with...
Chol Yisrael has nothing to do with intermarriage, it has to do with the fact that they'll mix in non-kosher milk. And we spoke out last week, who's going to mix in non-kosher milk? What doesn't make sense? So we said over that there was a tshuva was written to the Chalkes Yankif in Reich in Switzerland, that in the mountains in Switzerland, there were these ladies carrying down milk, and they had mixed in over there some horse milk in order to keep it preserved. It preserves it for longer. So even nowadays, that incidents of this taking place. What? They do that?
Yes.
You saw it? When you saw it?
Really? They put it in there? Not the major dairy.
Who? Donkey. But not the major dairy farms. I mean, some homegrown stuff. But anyway, this is the Chashash Chol Yisrael.
And it's a good question, because we're going to Venice, the middle. Versus, can we have to ask somebody there if you can drink with us?
What's over there? Yeah, there's Chabad in Venice. It'll be fine. There's plenty of places.
Yeah, there's a big Chabad.
Yeah, so I can have somebody buy.
Right.
Because
but like we're stopping at the hotel.
Right.
I don't know what everything is.
Right. You have to know about the milk in these type of places. Right. Now, the question is, what about a case where we know that it would be unlikely or non-profitable for the non-Jew to mix in non-kosher milk?
Are we going without Rav Moshe's heter now?
Yeah, without Rav Moshe's heter. But, so again, that would be enough according to the Pri Chadash, but it wouldn't be enough according to everyone else, because even if it's not profitable for him, the Jew didn't see it. However, there's a discussion as follows. The Gemara says that non-kosher animal milk cannot harden into cheese. It cannot turn into cheese. What?
Or butter.
You can't turn it into cheese. So therefore, if we know for sure that the milk is being milked for the purpose of making cheese out of it, maybe the Chazal never made a gzera on that. Maybe Chazal never made a gzera, because it's obvious that the non-Jew would never mix in non-kosher milk into that, because it would just ruin his whole cheese, because it would end up not becoming hard cheese. And that's a question. Yeah, but it seems like Lamaisa, at the end of the day, it's not going to end up turning into cheese. Okay, so this is the Ramah seems to be a little bit more lenient on this. But at the end of the day, again, this would be totally in the Pri Chodosh versus everyone else. And Lamaisa, so you have to be machmir on this. Okay, so here comes a very interesting follow-up question based on that, which is, if that's the case, so now what happens? And there's another factor, which is, for example, powdered milk. What's powdered milk? Powdered milk is milk that they dehydrate and they leave you just the powder, and then it lasts longer. It can be used in products, etc. Right? So powdered milk, it's not profitable to make powdered milk out of non-kosher milk, because it has a lot more, it's a lot higher water base, apparently. Science. There's a lot higher water base in these non-kosher animal milks. So therefore, if you're going to try to turn it into powdered milk, the dehydrating process will take longer. It will be more expensive. So there's no reason to. And etc. There's a whole bunch. So the Hartzvi, Tzipesach Frank, has a whole long arichas in Yeridea, Simon Kuf Gimel Kuf Dalet, and he's matter this. And he says, despite the fact that if you'll take milk and it's all these other lot, it's not enough, but powdered milk is like a different product.
Why is that different?
And it's enough.
For the cheese.
So this is the controversy. He says, no, because it's like a little bit of like a different product.
Totally different.
Right. So it's enough. But others are choylik. Okay? So
Krispy Kreme is better.
What?
Krispy Kreme.
Right. So most poiskim are machmer on this. The Starkei, the Baltimore, a lot of, I don't know Starkei, I shouldn't say that. But I know that there are a lot of places that are makel on it. A lot of things that are, that most products out there that are dairy are using powdered milk. Because they're not going to put for fresh milk and donuts and all this stuff that they're selling commercially. It's going to spoil. So therefore, according to our two Pesach Frank, there'll be a lot more room to be lenient. Well, the powdered milk is dehydrated milk, essentially. Right, so the question is that if you'll tell me that even though we know for sure it's not profitable and it doesn't make sense that the non-Jew would mix in kosher milk, but it doesn't make a difference. It's Xera is Xera, and therefore Chazal answered it, even in the case where we know he milked it for the purpose of cheese. So why would it be different if he dehydrated it? That would be the logic. But Rabbi Pesach Frank has a whole arichas there to explain why exactly, why he feels that it's not included in the Xera, and therefore there were makilim on it. But most places that if you're makbid on chavisa, you're going to be makbid on the powdered as well. And most places do not rely on this Rabbi Pesach Frank on this issue. I think I heard that because of Chief Pesach Frank was the Rav on the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael, at the end of his life, he became a Rav for part of the Rabbanut system. So they took on his psak, and therefore they allowed powdered milk to be considered Chol Yisrael under the Rabbanut Hechsher. Now, what's the nafkamina of that? The nafkamina is as follows. This is Rabbi, I heard this from Rabbi Breidowitz. Rabbi Yitzchak Breidowitz, and he's a Rav in Or Samach now. So anyway, so he said the following: is that the psak of the Rabbanut, they go with the Shabbat Pesach Frank that make all the powdered milk. You know, the nafkamina that is in Eretz Yisrael doesn't make such a big difference, because to Nuva and all this stuff is all Chol Yisrael, obviously, anyway. But the nafkamina is foreign products, imported stuff. Because the Rabbanut holds that they will not allow any store that has a Rabbanut or any restaurant to serve non-Chol Yisrael items. I don't think so. So this is what he was explicit. So he said, so that you'd be able to find in some of these places a lot of OUD stuff, but it'll be considered Chol Yisrael because it's all the powdered milk. So it's not the problem. You don't have the problem because they follow Petit Pesach Frank's Kula on the powdered milk. So he says you won't be able to find though good. You know, he said he went into a place and they had Ben and Jerry's ice cream, but there was no Häagen-Dazs. So my high, because Häagen-Dazs is a chosh of ice cream. They don't use powdered milk. They use fresh milk. So they didn't allow it in the store. It's not Chol Yisrael. But the Ben and Jerry's is only powdered milk. Not some of them. So that didn't make it into the store. Okay? So it's a lower quality ice cream. So the anyway, this thing was the Petit Pesach Frank's Kula and most people are not that are Machmir Chazal are not making on this Kula. Now after this, okay, after the sugya of Chol Yisrael, there's another sugya. And that sugya is the sugya of Gvinas Akum. Gvinas Akum means is a Chazal made an Isser that you're not allowed to have cheese prepared or made by a non-Jew. That means, well, how do you make cheese? You take milk. And now, why did Chazal ask for Gvinas Akum? It means even if you know it was Chol Yisrael, the Jew sat and saw the entire milking process from beginning to end, and he knows that the milk is 100% kosher. Okay, so you turn the milk into cheese. What's the problem? Well, what could go wrong now? What's the problem this time? So Chazal says six reasons why it's aser. The Gemara says there's six, seven reasons why it's aser. But the main reason that we paskin according to Shulchan Aruch is because how do you curdle the cheese? What do you do to make the cheese hard? The rennet. Rennet is enzymes from the animal. Right, so
not anymore.
Right, but in the time of the Gzeira, it was ma'amidin ba'or keva nevela, that they would take a piece of the meat that has these enzymes, and you put that into the milk, and that hardens the milk. That chemical reaction hardens the milk, and it turns into cheese. And the problem was, the chashash was that they would use non-kosher meat in order to put that into the milk. So even if you have 100% kosher milk, cow's milk, everything, but they're now going to throw in a nevela, piece of the meat of a non-kosher animal, and that's gone, or the or whatever, and it's going to curdle the cheese.
If it's kosher, I mean, if they use the stomach of a cow, can't.
Oh, you want to know basar b'chalav? Okay, the toisus as a kasha, toisim chur as a kasha. Then why isn't every time that you curdle, why isn't the basar b'chalav?
Rabbi said somebody was watching the whole time. It's called the show. So you're chayshus that he's watching while he's watching. They're going to mix it with something.
Two separate processes. Now. If you give him the milk,
he was watching the whole process. He was just watching
the milking. Now you give the non-Jew the milk. And they say, I'll be back tomorrow. I want some cheese or whatever, however long it takes to, right. So now you're concerned that he's going to throw it in. Now you're asking a good question. If the meat is nice and tam, gives flavor into the milk, why isn't it basa b'chalav every time you make cheese with this? So I think it's a tosis of kovir. Two terutzim. One of the terutzim is that you use a part of the animal that's dry. It doesn't have a shame basa to it. Has no tam. Or something like that, but well, I have to see the answer. I don't remember the teretz why it's not possible. But a kapon, if it's using a treif one, that is a problem. And even if it's less than shishim, it's less than 60 times. So usually it's batal. But since it's davar hamaimid, it has the whole idea of 60 is that it's nullified. It's not. But here you can't say it's nullified because its impact was clearly visible in the milk. Because now it's hard.
That's the thing that's doing the.
That's creating the whole product. So when you mean it's bottle, you can't make it bottle. That's anytime that it's more than 60, even if it's less than 1/60th of the product, but it's less than 1/60th of the product, but its impact is clearly noted in the product, then 60 doesn't help. For example, that's part of the argument with the sherry casks on the whiskeys, that some people will say, well, it's less than shish. Yeah, but you can't tell me it's bottle if they're advertising that it's done there for a reason because it's giving flavor. So you're going to tell me that it's bottle. If it's bottle, so then why are they advertising that? And what? Then why are you using it? Right. So that's one of the arguments. It's a little different because it is different because Lamaisa Chazal say that once it's less than 60, then it doesn't matter. So you're right. There is an argument on this, obviously, and the kashrus organizations argue on this. And this, but I'm saying that's one of the reasons. It's clearly less than 1/60th. But the argument back is, yeah, but it's there and it's. is noticeable, so therefore won't help. Okay. So now this was therefore a new Gzeres Chazal on Gvinas Akum. So Gvinas Akum is irrelevant of Chol Vishrol. Chol Vishrol is one thing. You have to see the milking process because you're afraid maybe he's going to put in non-kosher. He's going to do a scheme. He's going to trick you. He's going to put in non-kosher milk into the milk. Here, it's something to do with a scheme. We're not concerned that he's going to trick you. It's just this is the process how they make milk cheese, and therefore we have to make sure that they don't make it in that way. And this is a gzer.
Was there another way to make cheese back at the time? Back then?
Ran it from a shechted animal. Right? He asked, why isn't it possible cholov? That's a good question.
Oh, I didn't know that you were allowed to do this.
No, you're allowed to use it. You just can't use it from a non-kosher animal. Okay, so here's a machlo. So therefore, Chazal asked this gvinas akum. They asked the gvinas akum. Which, by the way, is a question. Why did Chazal need to asser it? If you have to be concerned about it, you should have had to be concerned about that gzer. No, it's a suffix or deraisa. Why do you need a new gzer for that? Why does Chazal have to come and say it's also to eat it because maybe it's treif? Maybe it's treif, then I would have. It's also anyway, right? You don't need a new gzer for that. It's a horror. But anyway, so how do you get out of this problem? What Chazal? Okay, so how do you get out of this problem? So good. So there's a gzer. You can't just send him the milk and ask him to send you back cheese. So how do you get out of it? So here's a big machloikas between the Ramah and the Shach. The Rama says that you just have to watch it. Just like by Yisrael, Ro'eyu is enough. So says the Rama here as well, in Siv Beis. V'ma Yisrael Ro'e Asiyas Hagvinois V'hachaliva. As long as he sees the process and he's supervising it, mutter. That's okay. V'chein Haminag Pashut B'chol Medinois. And that's what we do. We just watch the process. So you have to watch the cheese process. Okay? Fine. That's the Rama says. There's a whole long shach over here. And the Shach says no, it does not work. Watching the process does not work. It has to actually be Gvinas Yisrael. Gvinas Yisrael means is that the Jew has to either own the milk and the cheese, not just buy it from the non-Jew when he's done. He has to own it. It's his thing, and the non-Jew is working for him. Or the mashgiach, the yid, has to actually put the rennet himself into the milk. It's not enough to watch the process. This is the shach's chumrah. So, according to the shach, it would be a tremendous chumrah to make kosher cheese because you can't just, you know, we're knocking on the door, let's see what's going on. Right? That wouldn't be enough. The mashgiach actually has to go ahead and make the cheesing process. What? So, the Hanhaga today is the OU. I was just looking around. The OU and a lot of the other places, they're machmer on the Shach. They're machmer with the Shach to actually make it. Gvinas Yisrael, the Jew has to be the one making the cheese.
Gvinas Yisrael, I mean kosher cheese, not, it would be treif.
If you don't have Gvinas Yisrael, right, because Rav Moshe's heter has nothing to do with cheese. Because Rav Moshe's heter is the milk. But now there's a new thing, the cheese. Now you'll tell me, well, you know what's going to be when they, nowadays that they don't use rennet anymore. Nowadays they engineered artificial rennet. These enzymes artificially, and they're not. You don't sit there putting in meat into the milk. So what's the halacha over there? So first of all, we have to understand is that when Chazal made a gzera, most of the time the gzera we spoke to that last week. The gzera is across the board. And therefore, they made the gzera, unless it's clear from the gzera itself that they didn't make it in the case where there was no concern. For example, the case of, there's a couple by the snakes. They said, you're not allowed to drink water which was left out overnight. So, but the Gemara itself goes on to explain, except for this scenario and that scenario when you're not worried about the snakes. Okay? But other than that, we asked. So the Goyin says, therefore you see that the takana was not across the board. The takana was only made in a place where we're chashish. But normally, if Chazal don't give any exceptions, then we asher it across the board. And
in this case, they said that it's the meat. So you worry about non-kosher.
No, but the asr, the gmina, must.
Because it never occurred to them that you could use anything but
meat. Right. Well, it says over here, gmina sa'akum asr mipnei shemamid anaisim ba'or kevas nevela. Kevas shechitasim shi nevela. Va'afilu hamidu ba'asavim.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, yeah.
It's not really wide, it's
so big. That's
right here. Asura. So there's the answer to your question, by the way. The Mechaber says, Afilu hemidu ba'asavin. There was a way to be mimed with grass, with some sort of herbs. So the Mechaber asks it. So the question is why? If Chazal made it there, but the reason won't apply, so then why say it's awesome?
But they clearly said that the reason still applies even if it's something. Something is very clear that it's still us. So today, that we don't have meat doesn't make a difference.
Sit over here, because he's coming back from maybe. What?
It's still us there, they still had a sovereign, so what's the difference between a sovereign then versus
okay, so what exactly? So now what's the reason for it? So there's a famous sheet of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon holds that anything which Chazal assert, they're only megala to us. They explain to us and reveal to us the tam al pi nigla. Al pi the way we understand it, they explain to us the reason for their gzera. However, there was always a reason al pi nister as well. There was other reasons for the gzera. And therefore, even if the reason that they gave us doesn't apply, but we don't know all of their reasons for all the Yisurim. And therefore, you can never play around with these dinim. There's a famous story with the Vilna Gaon. It's brought in the Sefer Elias Eliyahu. That the Gaon had a Talmud who was blind. The Vilna Gaon. He had a Talmud who was blind, and finally, it was a big simcha, he got engaged to be married. So the Vilna Gaon was inside the Kedushin at the wedding. Itself is interesting. But anyway, so he came to the wedding, and at the chuppah, this is what it says, the nusach in the story. The Vilna Gaon says to the chassan, Kayem Masha Omru Chazal, Asur Lekadesh, Asur Laadam Shikadesh Asa Isha Achi Yirena. You should fulfill the din of Chazal, they're not allowed to do Kiddushan on a woman until you see her. Vinifkechu Einav. And he's able to see her. That's the story. Right? So the story is, since Chazal said that you can't be Mekadosh and Yisha Achi Rena, so you should get back your vision and see her. So the question on this Vilna Gaon is that the Gemara has a reason for the din. Because if you don't see her, Shema Yimtza Badavar Gnai, you're going to end up finding something you don't like. But this guy's blind, he's never going to see anything anyway. So therefore, why does the Chazal matter in this case? So you want to say, because the Vilna Gaon held that's only the reason given, but there's other reasons. And therefore, no, it's not different. That's what we're saying. Oh, Chol Yisrael. No, Yisrael Rayu. So it depends how you get Yisrael Rayu.
I thought the reason is because it might be.
Mix it in.
So maybe there are other reasons besides for mixing it in.
Okay, so they said how to get out of the promise. If you see it, that's good enough. Maybe that's part of the Xera.
Maybe that's just how to get out of that reason.
Alright, so that's why we pass. You're right. So maybe that's why we don't pass again. That as long as you know, you have to actually see it. Maybe you're right.
Moshe arguing with the Vilna Gaon?
No, Moshe saying that's called seeing. That's what we said last week.
Saying, but there would be other reasons.
Yeah. No, but that's called seeing it. So that's Chazal made.
Reasons that seeing it helps.
No, but Chazal says seeing it helps. So that's part of the Xera. Now, so based on that, so therefore we asked it across the board, even though there was a way even back then to make the cheese artificially, or not artificially, but naturally without those enzymes. So nowadays that we have chemical enzymes, the din should still apply. So therefore, there's no such thing. Well, I hold like Ramosha. Therefore, I don't need Gvinas Yisrael. No such thing. Kosher cheese is Gvinas Yisrael. Because you can't have cheese which is Gvinas Akum. It's treif. It's awesome in Darabonim. Now that I have. So therefore, all kosher cheese. But that's why cheese, really, it's one of the things in the industry that... Right. So...
You can have it's one of those things. Cheese.
Okay, yeah. So we have to get to that. So that means that, right, theoretically speaking, you could have non-chal of Yisrael, Kvinas Yisrael. In other words, we didn't see the milking process. We didn't see the milking process, but it doesn't make a difference because we did get involved in the making it into cheese, and the Mashkiach, according to most Hechsherim, actually threw in the rennet. The way what that means in today's language is the way the OU, I checked on their website how they do it, and they talk our machbit on this. They say the supervision provided by most kashrus agency normally fulfills both opinions, which is even the Shach, such that when the Mashkiach is present for cheese production, he personally adds the rennet enzyme to the milk for each batch of cheese. So fulfilling the Shach's requirement. So that's very good in the old-fashioned places, but in the case of many newer cheese factories which use automated rennet feeders, rather than the manual incorporation of rennet into cheese vats, the Mashkiach activates the rennet feeder for each vat. So he would activate the thing, and that would be enough. Entering the control room for this purpose every 45 minutes to be ready for the next cheese production. In the event that the Mashkiach cannot monitor vat activity from this area, as well as in cases which the milk or rennet is Jewish owned, many kashrus require the Mashkiach to also maintain presence at the vat location, so as to be sure the provided the physical supervision as stipulated by the Ramah. In other words, they're pointing out that the Ramah could end up being a chumrah, not a kula. Whereas we were saying the Ramah is a kula. You don't have to actually throw in the rennet. You could watch the guy do it. But that's very good if the rennet is being if it's being thrown in at the place that you're standing. But if you're going to be over there pressing the button on the machine, but it's being introduced over here, so now it comes out that the Ramah and the Shach, the Ramah is more machmer than the Shach, because the Ramah wants to see it, and the Shach wants you to do it. So the Shach wants you to be over there, and the Ramah wants you to be over here.
I say that won't work.
What?
The Ramah would say that won't work.
Yes, I don't know if there are. Yes, it's hard to understand. The Ramah's not a kula. I mean, what they're saying is that sometimes they'll want you to be in both places, so you have both shittas. Okay, so now you understand why. You know, in I don't know, am I correct that in kosher wines there's so many types of, and like cheese hasn't, you know, it's not as widely produced kosher cheeses as, like, you know.
Well, you haven't been to it.
Yeah. But well, Israel is
pomegranate.
Yeah, it's not the same as in other industries, because to make kosher cheese is very complicated. It's not just enough to have a mashkiach. You have to get into the kishkas of the company. You know, you have to actually get in there and say, "No, let me do it."
A different process than you see, because some companies have kosher Rakota, for instance. You see,
well, we'll see. We'll get to Rakota in a minute. That's okay. That's different. That's different. I'm talking about hard cheeses right now. Well, we'll get to cream. We'll get to those types of cheeses.
But you don't see them having on their mozzarella or whatever. Mozzarella doesn't have kosher.
Hard cheeses have a lot more. Hard cheeses are much more limited out there. It's mostly the Jewish companies, like you're saying, right? So you don't have Philadelphia, you know, mozzarella cheese, you know, whatever. So in Israel, everything's probably called, it's made by the kosher Jewish companies. So once it's Jewish owned, then you don't need this whole thing. If it's Jewish owned, you can have an Arab do it. Because Jewish owned itself is Gvinas Yisrael.
That was only just one. Oh, right? I think the Shach said that was just one, right? Jewish owned was two.
No, I think Jewish owned is enough.
So in that case, they're okay, because they're all public and most of the stuff is owned by
No, wine has nothing to do with this. Wine is a separate problem. The non-Jews are not even allowed to touch it. Wine has its own separate issue with Hashgacha. By wine, you have to make sure that, let's say, you have non-Jewish workers there, you know, and he's something gets stuck in the press. Something gets stuck
they
in the
press. Anything?
You're not allowed to stick in and touch it, and that has its sets of complications. Okay, so therefore, the Gvinas Yisrael has to be that the Yisrael is present, and the Yisrael actually, according to the Shach, we're saying has to actually be putting in the enzyme, which is the rennet enzyme, into the cheeses. Okay, now there's one other issue. Well,
the issue of basar nisam min ha'ayim with the rennet that's put into meat.
It's, I mean, what do you mean? Nowadays we don't use meat.
I'm saying, would there be an issue of that?
Yeah, you have to assume it's not. Yeah, I guess so.
So you would have to have a mashgiach at the time watch it also guard the meat then.
Yeah, but right. I mean, nowadays we don't use the meat, but yeah. Apparently in Europe, some countries still do. Yeah? Why? It tastes better?
What?
It's more. It's cheaper? Well,
cheaper.
What? Huh?
Also depends on us. Like we went to Colombia once, and the woman comes to my wife and goes, "Oh, you know, we just have all this milk, and you know, we're gonna make cheese for you." So she goes, "Is that okay?" I go, "Just what do they put to make the cheese?" She goes, "Here."
No. Namish?
Yeah.
But the what kosher cheese is the
Gvinas Yisrael? Yeah. Right. Because otherwise it's a problem from this Gemara. Now, the question is the following. If you have cheese, which is Gvinas Yisrael, it's certified. Miller's cheese is Gvinas Yisrael. Obviously, you know? But it's not made out of Chalav Yisrael. It's not made out of Chalav Yisrael. So now, here's the question. Once, if you buy milk, even if it was made by the non-Jew, it was made. It was milked by the non-Jew and with the intention to make it into cheese. We said that that's still a problem. Because that's like the pre-chodosh has had to, but we don't go with that. Okay? So even though it's not logical that the goy would mix it in, it's still aser. It's still called chalav akum. It's still a problem. Even though he did it al das with the intention to make it into milk. But what happens if he already turned it into cheese? He had das to make it into cheese, and then he turned it into the cheese. So now, and then he sells it to you. You watch the whole thing, and then he sells it to you. At this point, do you say, well, I have a proof that there was no non-kosher milk mixed in, because it turned into cheese? And you can't say, well, it's also because, you know, the Chazal made gzeir. The Chazal only made the gzeir on buying the milk. This is not the milk anymore, this is the cheese. Maybe Chazal didn't make the gzeir on the cheese. So therefore, non-chalav Yisrael milk, if you purchase it at that point in the process, now you're coming in when it has a when it's chalav Yisrael, there's a gzeir on it. But if the non-Jew went on ahead and under your supervision or your doing, made it into cheese, now you're coming in and want to buy it. Do you say now Chazal wouldn't have asked this because now the proof is in the pudding, right? Proof is in the cheese. That what? So the Ramah says that imra'a asiyas ha-gvinois v'loira'a ha-chaliva. So you saw the gvina, not the chaliva. Says the Ramah, yesh lahatir b'di'eved. Now, the question is, what does b'di'eved mean? B'di'eved means once you bought it, or b'di'eved means now that it's made already? Okay? Ki ein lochush shema irevoy davar tamei. There's no concern anymore that he mixed in treif milk. Because treif milk can't become cheese. So he obviously tried to make it into cheese. This guy made it into cheese. So therefore, he milked it. He made it into cheese. And he's buying it for you. And he's selling it to you. Okay? So obviously, some of the case that you contracted out for him a certain amount of cheese. Okay? Because if you didn't contract it out for him, so then who says what his intention was originally? Maybe he changed his mind and whatever. But if this was his intention all along, okay, so maybe that would be enough. Okay, this was his intention, and he knew he wasn't going to make any more money had he mixed in the non-kosher milk, because he has to. So there's no benefit for him, and there's no zera across the board because you're buying cheese. So the Ramah says you can be makel. So it means if you see OUD hard cheese, even if you're makban a chol mistral, it could be you could eat it, according to the Ramah. B'di'evit. Now the question is, what is b'di'evit?
Chol mistral.
What?
It's like it takes you out of the shy of chol mistral.
Yeah, because you're not buying milk anymore; you're buying cheese, and the cheese we know
for sure can't be
right. It's not the gzeir anymore.
Right. Not kosher milk.
More interesting question.
B'di'evit means after you bought it.
Another question is, what if it's, can you buy butter without a
hitch? Okay, butter is gonna be next week.
Okay.
When, yes, but you have to just make sure you're under the parameters of Gvinas Yisrael. Okay. Now they say here that b'di'evit in the Ramah means that you could buy it, that once it's made you could buy it. Okay. Thank you. Now, the he wants to say very interesting things. Okay, so now the Shach, however, is more machmer once again here as well, and the Shach says it's not even mutter b'dievin; it's only mutter b'makom hefsin meruba. Now, hefsin meruba, it's hard to imagine what hefsin meruba is. I mean, you're going to buy a package of Chalav Yisrael cheese for $4.50, and this $3.50. I mean, I don't know what the hefsin meruba is, but the Shach says that he's only makel on this kula of the Ramah b'makom hefsin meruba. So again, that would kind of limit the scope of the heter. The Ramah
bought a bunch of cheese and can't return.
Right. Okay. Fine. So now, so that means that if you're makben a Chalav Yisrael, but you see an OUD cheese, which is presumably Gvinas Yisrael, it could be that therefore that fulfills now Gvinas Yisrael, a Chalav Yisrael, according to the Ramah. Okay? There's some shittas like this. But the oven, according to the Ramah, but the oven means once it's made into cheese. So now it's made into cheese, you could buy the Chatchila. But the oven means once it was made into cheese, you could buy it.
So, if you use powdered milk.
What? Yeah. If you use powdered milk, I don't think you want that cheese.
Made out of powdered milk.
No, not really. Yeah, I don't think you could do that. Now,
cheese donut.
Here's where it gets very interesting. So, in the Chalkas Bin Yom, he wants to say a very interesting svara. So that only works. He wants to say this heter severely limited nowadays, because this only works if the company who makes the cheese is the dairy, is the producer of the milk, and has their own dairy farm. So that means they're not motivated to add any milk. Why? Because they're not making money by the pound of milk. They're making money according to the amount of cheese they produce. So therefore, why would they go ahead and ruin their product by putting in more just to add to the volume of the milk if it's not going to add to the quality of the cheese? There's no purpose in that. It's not going to make more cheese, right? Or whatever. But he says, but most, the cheese companies that get their milk from a different milk dairy farm, okay, they get it delivered every day, they pay by the gallon. They don't pay according to the amount of cheese they're making. They pay the milk farm by the gallon of milk. So now the dairy farm is motivated to add in stuff to heighten the value, the volume of milk.
But then it won't work to make the cheese.
But you don't have this heter of saying, well, since he had in mind originally to make it, then he wouldn't have added it in because it would get complicated for him. They don't care about that necessarily.
They're not going to come buy for them anymore. If I can't make the cheese, then why am I buying the milk for you? Then I know that you have
no milk because maybe they make 1,000 different things with it. They're a huge dairy farm. They sell some to milk farm factories. They do a lot of things with their milk. A dairy, unless you're totally contracted out, this entire dairy farm, that their only thing that they do with their milk is send it to you. But let's say they make milk.
Again, let's say this company makes cream with it. This company makes, I don't whatever, ice cream or powdered milk. But my company makes only cheese with it.
Okay, but you're not in charge of the milk.
I'm not going to buy from that company then if I can't make my cheese. Then I'm going to go to company B for my milk.
Yeah, but they produce milk without Indas only to do cheese. They produce lots of milk. So therefore, this whole heter of if you're solely a cheese making milk factory, that's one thing. But if not,
I don't want to lose your business. You don't want to lose my business. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't know if that's heter. That's already a lot smaller that they would lose out.
Nobody's going to separate. This milk goes for cheese. This milk goes. They extend you.
Right. That's what I'm saying. All the milks have to be the same.
1,000 gallons of milk. You're going to just decide how you're going to use it. If you put it into cheese and none of it makes it, and once you add something to it, it doesn't make cheese anymore. You're not going to buy from them again.
Why would I buy from them again? I just lost that making my cheese.
Right.
My whole thing is gone.
That, you know,
makes sense to buy
stuff
no, like
no
it doesn't
sense
work.
To cheese if you're going to be caught immediately.
That's right.
Say if you add like a little bit of any other milk,
doesn't matter.
You spoil it.
It's cheating. It's done. Can't make cheese out of it. It's done.
What I'm saying, the guys,
we don't know that.
Right. I mean, I don't know how much makes a difference, but the point is, okay, it's true. But this whole, you have to remember, this whole thing of the Ramah is a kula, and the kula is if the farmer himself milked it al das to make cheese, and he made cheese out of it, then you have that heter. He's saying lav dafka you have it if they're making 10 different things with the cheese and selling it to different companies. Lav dafka you have that heter. You have to keep that in mind. That's his svar. It's a pretty good svar. Huh? You have to know that. Now, the one thing that was mentioned earlier. Okay, so that's the sugya in a nutshell of cheese. Okay. Now, one thing we have to keep in mind. Maybe we'll talk more next week. Is going to be okay. We'll do it next week already because we are a little out of time. Is about soft cheeses and butter. Okay, the issue, just briefly, I'm not going to say the psak now, but the issue with the soft cheese, okay, soft cheese means cottage cheese, means cream cheese, means ricotta cheese, means all these types of cheeses. They don't harden. So the way they curdle is natural enzymes of the milk itself. It's the bacteria of the spoiled milk itself which curdles the milk into this type of cheese. So you don't put in a foreign enzyme from the rennet. It's just the acid and the bacteria of the milk itself. So therefore, you're never bringing in a foreign item. So since you're never bringing in a foreign item, so there's no xera. Okay, so that was a question. Now there's a lot of different parameters that one can discuss. One is, well, you don't need a foreign item, but what happens if you do use a foreign item? Sometimes they will make an artificial enzyme. So once they're making an artificial enzyme, okay, so
speed
it up. You didn't need it, but you're doing it. Okay. Also, lemaisa, if it has a shame gvina to it, if this is called gvina, even if the gzera doesn't apply, maybe it's also under the general category of a gvina. So you have to know, is it called gvina, and what happens if you do introduce something else? What's going to be the halacha? But this is the basic understanding where the OUD cheeses come in, right? Because those may not be gvinas even from the non-kosher companies. Because there, if it's not going to be subject to gvinas, so all you need is hashgacha. You don't need this whole thing. Right? So therefore, you'll find a lot more soft cheeses from just have hashgacha, even if they're not from kosher companies. Whereas the hard cheese is almost always from Jewish companies. Right, so the soft cheeses, we'll see what the psak is, but the issue, the reason to be more makel is because there's no foreign entity enzyme being introduced into them. And then the follow-up question to that is going to be butter, and the follow-up question to that is yogurt. Yogurt is also using bacteria. So, you know, do you start drawing the line and saying maybe yogurt is different? So that we'll talk about next week is cottage cheese, yogurt, butter, ricotta cheese, all these other things, where do they fall under?
Okay. What does it make a difference? All these
ice cream is milk.